Don't forget your light.
Thank you, Pastor. And good morning to Sunday School. Wow, it's good to see so many of you here. Missions Conference ought to be the most exciting and well-attended time of the year because it's the favourite time for God. Amen? Missions Conference is at the heartbeat of heaven, and that's why we need to be here every possible meeting. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're into the last chapter. The book of Matthew. Some of this will be a little bit of revision for those who have been here over the years. And then those of you who are new, this is, hopefully something you can learn from. There are many things to learn about the Great Commission. All right, verse 16 is where we're looking. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, and he said, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Precious Father, as we come and look at your word this morning, and we look at the world map, and we look at the needs of the world, and we look at the condition of the church, and we pray, dear Lord, that you will speak to our hearts, maybe in a way that we can understand that you are dealing with us. And I pray, dear Lord, we'll never be afraid of when you are dealing with us to respond. And Father, we thank you now for it. We pray for the young people, each one of them, that they too will respond to your word. And for this we thank you now. Amen. All right, as we look at this passage here, I think you all know this was an invitation passage. Jesus made an invitation. The invitation was, meet me at this particular mountain. Meet me at this place. And when Jesus calls us to meet him, the best thing to do is to be there. To be there and be there on time. Amen? I'm glad you haven't got an issue with being on time. Some churches have a big issue with that. Everyone comes half an hour late. Amen? And I don't know where we get the idea that we can get away with that with a wonderful God who made the universe. We can't get away with it. It's not right. But anyway, Jesus said, you better come up into the mountain, verse 16. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. And then the next three words are kind of hard to understand. But some doubted. Why would you doubt the Lord Jesus? How could you doubt him if you'd just seen him a little while ago? Amen? Did they have poor eyesight? Had he changed that much? Amen? Pretty hard to understand. I really, every time I read that, I think, well, there's hope for me. But honestly, they saw him. They walked with him. They talked with him. And now they can't recognize him. So something's gone wrong between there and there. Amen? Something serious. But then he explains why he wanted to meet them. And this really is to them a reminder of what he's called them to do, what he's called you and I to do. This is a reminder. Now, do we need reminding? Yes, we do. We constantly need reminding. Amen? Because we let ourselves go and we forget why we're here. This is a reminder. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Think about that for a moment. Everywhere you read that word power in the Bible, it means dynamite, literally the same dynamite we still use. They had it back then. But in this particular instance, that word power doesn't mean dynamite. We're not called to blow anything up. Amen? That's for the people in the Middle East. They blow everything up, but we're not called to blow up anything. We are called to go into the world. So this word power here means authority. You have been given authority to go. Now, the Pentecostal church, almost they're all over the place, they use this verse quite frequently in their material, and they say, we've taken the power, we're using the authority, we're moving ahead. So my question is the Independent Baptist Church waking up? Because we have the same power. This is an absolute and unrestricted authority to go out into the world. There is no such place in the world, no such place where we cannot go. That doesn't exist. If there's a fence, you can climb it. If there are mountains, you can climb them. If there's a tunnel, you can go through it. Other people do. Why can't you? Amen? If there's an airport in that country, then you can fly in. All you have to do is learn how to get past people. Amen? That's all. How do I get past them? How do I manage to tell them that I'm here to do some work, but you don't have to tell them everything. And so if there's a possibility, then you should take it. So it says here, go into all the world, not some of the world, not where you've had selective wishing or selective hearing, but go into all the world. That's every nation. There are over 250 places you can go. So we're not very limited. Amen? We have a great opportunity. And then I want you to look at the next two words, verse 19. It says, go ye. Go ye. Now, a little boy asked me at a meeting, he said, what does that mean, Brother Anger? What does it mean to go? It sounded like a dumb question, but I looked it up. Amen? And I want you to watch very carefully in case you miss it. The word go means to put one leg in front of the other, like this. And then he brings this leg over here, like that. You understand? In case you don't get it. That's what it means. It means move your legs. And our problem in our movement is we've got soldiers and we can't get their legs and brains to work together. So they're crippled. We're crippled. This and this have to work together, right? Or else you don't move. But it means a little more than that. If you look at the word and spend a little bit more time on it, you'll see it means go from house to house. So you're actually going from house to house, literally from person to person. And that may be the reason our churches aren't growing as quickly as they should be. We're afraid of people. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of them slamming the door in our face. We're afraid of them saying something nasty to us. I mean, what kind of soldiers are we? If we're afraid of our own shadow, amen? The most they can do is slam the door. Okay, go to the next one. Amen? Go outside, take your shoe off, shake the dust off your shoes and say, well, God bless you, bye-bye, I'm off to the next one. That's literally what the disciples did. And they went from place to place. And that's why the gospel spread. And that's, by the way, why you're here this morning. You're here because they did that. But now you won't do that. So what's
the natural conclusion. If they did that, and we're still here, and we don't do that, what's the natural conclusion? We're going to die. We will die internally, looking at each other, amen? And saying, where did we go wrong? Because we're afraid. Now, in New Zealand and Australia, you still have the opportunity to go from house to house. You still have that. Many countries, you don't have that. Everything's locked up, barred up. You've got to press a button and nobody will let you in. Here, you still have all that opportunity to do that. There's only two things God has allowed you to change when you get to heaven. Two things. Number one, your reward. That's just almost all up to you, isn't it? You are allowed to change that reward. You can make it larger or smaller. Amen? You can gain or you can lose. The second thing is, how many people you bring with you is really up to you. Amen? Not up to me. I've got to find my own. You've got to find your own. So how many are going to follow you into heaven? That's up to you. Now, I know right now some of you are cringing inside, making excuses. Amen? Amen? You're making excuses why you think you should never go and knock on the door. Listen, there are people waiting behind the door, and they're waiting for someone to come and speak. And you would be amazed if you could speak to everybody in Rotorua personally. You'd be amazed how many people would be ready to listen to what you have to say. But because you've had a bad experience here and there, because someone didn't let you in here and there, you're not going to do it. Amen? I went up the coast of Australia one time to a little town called Ingham. I don't know if you ever heard of it. In Ingham, there are lots of Italian people. Now, I come from a somewhat Italian family, and I said to the pastor, let's go out and knock on a few doors. He was cringing already. This is the pastor. Amen? And I said, we'll knock on a few doors. And the sooner the first person opened the door, I started speaking Italian because I could see they were Italian. Oh, come in, brother, come in. Listen, he didn't even ask me whether I was a crook or a good guy. He just said, come on, we'll have some pasta, some coffee. And the next thing is, he was in church on Sunday morning. Now, why are we afraid? Why are we afraid? That world there has 3 billion people who've never heard how to receive Christ. 3 billion. If you want a picture of how many people that is, that's 35 laps around the world with all these people just holding hands. 35 laps around the world. That's how many people have never heard the gospel. And so here it talks about going. It talks about place to place, house to house, door to door. And then it says, go ye therefore. Therefore means because I've given you that power, amen, that authority. Now go ye therefore and teach all nations. The word teach, we know what it means, don't we? It means to make disciples. So you're not just going to win them, you're going to go and you're going to change the course of their lives. That's what you're going to do. And if you do it properly, discipleship works on the basis of, if it gets to the fourth person, it's self-propelling. So if you have a disciple, you make a disciple, He makes a disciple. The next one makes a disciple. The next one, you get to the fourth one. Then it's just self-perpetuating. It just keeps going. But you know, only 1 in 100 Christians ever do that. And then we run around and say, oh, we're fundamental. Oh, we use the Bible. We're the King James people. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but do we really make disciples? No. So, are we really good Christians? Are we thorough Christians? Amen? And look at the next generation. Just take a look at the next generation. Isn't that enough to scare you adults? It's enough to scare me to death, man. They're supposed to take on what we've been, you know, we've been doing something, I hope. They're supposed to continue on, but I'm telling you, the next generation doesn't have a clue. They're all off to university with a plum in their mouth. They haven't got a clue. They're not interested in proclaiming the gospel to the world. You see? And so we have to be really careful here. If we say we're good Christians, follow the word of God. We are to go, we are to teach. Now if you took everything else out of the New Testament, just take it out. This is the main thing you are to go and do. This is it. You would ask me this morning, what's the main thing I've got to do? Well, be in the will of God, making disciples. Amen? Be in the will of God, making disciples. If you can just do that, God will be very pleased. And you could say, I'm a good Christian. I'm doing what the Word says. Hello? No one's saying amen.
Amen.
Hmm? Is it that scary, is it? Huh? I'm working in Burma right now and I'm going to teach the Burmese pastor even. They don't teach them anything about visitation. He hasn't got a clue. He's been 6 years Bible college and still doesn't know. He has to go and knock on some doors to get people in the church. He thinks they're all going to fly in one Sunday on their own. Well, that's not going to happen, amen? No. No. And even though I don't know a single word of Burmese, not a single word, I get to the front gate, I look at somebody inside, say, hello, how are you going? And I've already got two legs in the gate, amen? They're already in there while I'm saying hello. That guy's watching my face. He's not watching my legs. Amen? I'm already getting into his yard, you see. That's what you've got to do. I'm getting in there. I can't speak a single word. The pastor got to translate for me. And he doesn't know what to do. Isn't that amazing? Now I've got to hold his hand and take him in and say, this is what you do. Not just go on the mission field and preach and everyone gets saved. No, it doesn't work like that. This is not in their culture, bothering people in the house. It's not in their culture. Amen? So I have to teach them. And so who are you teaching? I hope you're teaching some disciple somewhere how to do this. And if you're not doing it, you better teach yourself first. Say amen.
Amen?
Amen? Get the fear out of your system first. And you girls, you're going to marry somebody, make sure they're not afraid. If they're scared of their own shadow, find another one. Amen? The woods are full of them. What a blessing. Amen. Go ye. Make disciples. That's the word teach. Amen? All right, then it talks about baptizing people. And then in verse 20 it says teaching them. You see that second word teaching? It's not like the first word. The first word means to change somebody, to make them into a disciple. The second one tells you how to do it. Teaching here means teach by repetition. So you teach your children for 20 years how to eat properly, and then they go to McDonald's and make a terrible mess all over the table, all over the floor. They're like little pigs. Amen? You almost don't want to take it. You've got to wash all their clothes even by the time you get home. See? Teach and teach and repeat and repeat. Right, Sarge?
Yep.
You've got to keep. You've got to do it. If you don't do it, it's not going to happen. So as you continue to teach and teach and teach and teach, eventually it will sink in here and you'll have somebody who's worth taking with you and you won't be ashamed. So discipleship means teaching by example. All that I've shown you, Jesus said, you teach them. Wow. How long is that going to take? The average disciple takes 2 to 5 years to complete. 2 to 5. You're building a trophy here. Amen? You're building something that's worth giving out to other people and saying, well, if you take this guy, he'll help you go over there and start a work. He'll help you get something done. He'll send people out there. You're building a trophy for God. Think about it. Is that what you're doing right now? Are you building a trophy somewhere? If not, better hurry. Not much time left. This is your job. Amen? Maybe you think your job's something else. Well, I wouldn't know what that was, that something else. This is your job. How many times are you going to repeat your life in another? How many times will you do that? How many of them will stand behind you when you stand up before the Lord Jesus? And they'll say, well, these are the ones I brought with me, Lord. Yeah. You want to please him when you face him? That's the way to please him. Bring something. Don't talk about it. Do it. Amen? Do it. And so making disciples is a difficult task. It's time consuming. It means you have to probably give up some of your little pleasures. Amen? And your heart is going to fight against you and tell you not to do it because this is going to take your time up. Listen, this is the best time spent for you. The best time. Because of course, when you go out to make disciples, you've got to look like one. So if you need to change your appearance and look a bit better, do it. Fix yourself up. Amen? Don't go there looking like a yo-yo. Fix yourself up. Amen? So look, I'm in charge here. I'm going to teach you what to do, what to look like, how to speak, where to go, this and that and the other. And this is what we're going to do together. And then you'll be ready. You'll be ready. I'm not afraid to tell people to smarten themselves up. Amen? Some of them look like yo-yos. They're up and down every week. You don't know what they're going to look like tomorrow morning. Amen? That's insecurity. Make sure you've got some strong personality in you because that is what you're passing on. Because these men got the job done, you sit here this morning. You understand me? Those men, their work lasted 2,000 years. Think about it. 2,000 years it lasted. How long will your disciple last? Well, that's a magical question, isn't it? Nowadays, they're pretty weak, amen? We never know where they're going to end up. But listen, you've got to work hard to make a disciple. So let's quickly look at the world map over here, just to show you a little bit of what's going on. Okay. In the educated countries, over here, educated countries, America, part of like people in Singapore, Japan, and so on, and up here in Europe, in all those parts of the world, things are going downwards instead of upwards. Churches are closing everywhere. Amen? They're not doing well. They're becoming liberal. In Europe, there's almost no churches to go to at all. You could be looking for 100 kilometres to find a church that even believed a lot. So that's a place where really not a great deal's going on right now. But that's where all the great people came from. Now I want to explain something to you. All the great preachers and all the great missionaries came from inside of Europe, most of them. From England, some from Ireland, some from Scotland, some from Germany, some from Holland. And they went out into the world and got the job done. And then things got slack and everyone was rejoicing too long. Amen? We had too many parties about how great we were and what great things we did. And then it all collapsed in a heap. And so those countries that once were the great sending countries are now the countries that are in the most trouble. They're not sending anybody. Nothing. It's a sad observation when you go to Europe. You'll see it for yourself. That there's great big churches and nothing in them. Very sad. And so many of those countries now are going to become Islamic countries. They're already on the way. England is already on the way. Germany is on the way. Holland is already gone, completely gone. Okay? That's probably the worst one right now. Where every second child born in Holland now is a Muslim. Think about it. How did that happen? Well, it happened, amen? Because we let it happen. Australia's on the way. You'll be on the way soon. And that's what's going on. And we just sit around and we think, oh, everything's okay. No, everything is not okay. These people don't have the gospel. It's not okay. Amen? They're not even religious. They're dead. They need the gospel. And so we look around the world, the educated countries are in the most trouble. Alright? And we look over here, all this green patch here is all Islamic already. All that green patch. And the purple patch over here. These countries are gone already. Then we look up here, we see Asia. Asia's in the middle of transformation. Slowly, God is beginning to work. Very slowly. Amen? This is Burma here, the orange one. It's where we're working to get our church started and so on, right here. And up here, this is the remnants of communism. Not much going on. Over here is Eastern Europe. A lot was going on here, and now it's beginning to slow down. Because Eastern Europe is now joining Europe. So the influence is already going the wrong direction. So Eastern Europe is slowing up now, and not so many people are interested as they used to be. Then there's Western Europe over here. They're already in the grips of Islam. They're in big trouble. Scandinavia has never had much spiritual stuff going on. Most of their lives revolves around money, pleasure and sex. And that's about it in Scandinavia. There's nothing going on. Amen? And so we need to pray for that part of the world. Then we have Africa down here. I'm drawing a line here for you in Africa. If you start over here and you go through Nigeria, the green one, through Nigeria, across here, all of this is already Islamic. It's already Muslim, all of that. Now they're moving down into the south. They're coming down here, where we're working down at the bottom here. Okay? They're moving very rapidly. They're not afraid of anybody. They're not ashamed. And listen, they will step on anything that's in the way. They will come. Now, they have aggression like the church ought to have. They have aggression. Okay? We don't have aggression. We're too timid. We're too soft. They're running all over the place. So, some of Africa at the bottom, is experiencing a little bit of revival here and there, a little bit, amen. Over here is South America. Now, between Mexico and Panama, right here, this little stretch, is in my opinion, is the most receptive place in the world at the moment. More people are getting saved in there than pretty well anywhere else. So there's a lot of missionaries in there doing a lot of work. And then there's a little bit more going on in South America, but it's very slow and scattered, all right? There's a little bit here, but it's very slow and scattered. But this is where all the action is, right here. If the Mexican people get the gospel, then we'll have the world covered. Amen? They absolutely are moving at a pace we've never seen. Amen? And all those little countries, although they're full of war, they're full of guns, they're full of crooks, they're full of trouble, people are receiving Christ quickly. The only other country keeping up with Central America would be over here in China. Okay? More Christians are saved in China than almost the whole world put together every day. Alright? This is the work of some missionaries like Hudson Taylor and other missionaries. They did the job, we're reaping the benefit. But what did Hudson Taylor do? What was his life about? Discipling people. He said it over and over and over again. Don't give me men who are not discipled. I'm not interested. I can't do anything with them. He was determined to use good men. So China is on the move. Christians getting saved. More than 5,000 a day right here in China. Amen? Don't you wish that was happening in New Zealand? Amen? 5,000 a day, wouldn't that be something? It's just a dream. Amen? All right, stop dreaming, okay? But it can be changed if you as an individual go out and start looking. Go out and start looking. You might find something. So that's a quick view of the world. Over here is Australia. We're not going anywhere. We've stopped moving and we're stagnant, just in a state of not moving. We have 200 churches, hasn't gone up, hasn't gone down, for the last 15 years. So there's not a great deal. If you're thinking the grass is greener in Australia, stop thinking. It's not. You'll find less good churches there than you probably will here. Amen? I'm just telling you. I can't even think of five churches I would want to be in my own country. I'm just telling you, if you think the grass is greener there, think again. It's not. You've got a better choice right here. So that's a commendation for your country. Amen? So the world has now 7.3 billion people, and we're growing rapidly. I think we're growing at a rate of, I think it's about, we'll have to look it up on Mrs. Google, I'm thinking 70 million a year or 80 million we're growing at every year. That's a tremendous number of people. We're not keeping up with it. Amen? About 60 million die every year, but more people are born every year. And so we are just staggering around wondering where to go next. But the Lord Jesus gave us a promise. Look at that last verse again. The last verse says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The promise is, he will travel with you. He will go with you. You don't go yourself. Amen. He will come with you. But make sure, you are married to somebody who's going to go with you. This is the common problem I face every week, every day, somewhere in a church.
There's some young boy who wants to go and his girlfriend doesn't want to go. Or the girlfriend wants to go and the boy doesn't want to go. In that case, nobody's going to go. Amen? Amen? That needs to be determined before you marry. So when you have children, you've got your own children, make sure that that's being determined before they say, I do. All right? Remember, the girl has to follow the boy. Say amen?
Amen.
Say amen?
Amen.
Okay. The girl follows. Girls are made to follow. Amen? That's what they're made to do. And the boy needs to be smart enough to know what God wants him to do. And so if the two can't get on, then we just have a mishap. And that mishap just keeps getting bigger and bigger as you get older. Amen? So this is it. Make sure they both know what they're going to do and who's going to lead. Who is going to lead this? Otherwise, we're not going to have many couples go. We need at least another 10,000 couples to go. 50,000 would be better. But that's not going to happen. I know that already. In America, it's one person in 1,000 in American Bible colleges that go to the mission field. Figure it out. One in every 1,000 who are actually at Bible college are going to go to the mission field. So, do you think our figures are any better in our two countries? No, they're worse. Amen? One in 1,000. And then if you could split that one person in 4, 3/4 of that one, right, isn't going to make it. That leaves a quarter. A quarter of one is going to make it. So your child has to be exceptional. They have to be obsessed. They have to be driven to want to go and get this done. They must be obsessed with the lost, obsessed with the mission field, and obsessed with getting the job finished. Are your children like that? Is there that obsession to get that done? Is it there? That's the question you have to answer. Amen?
Amen.
Many people don't realize how short our time is. They don't realize it. Okay? In Australia, we just announced in 7 years there'll be no more cash money. It's over. Then I think you know after that, things have to happen very rapidly. Okay? So your time could be really short. So if you want to get something done at the end of this life, even though you're not old, now's the time to be saying to God, I'd like to do something. I don't just want to sit around and watch the world go to hell. Amen? I don't want to do that. If I can save just a few more, that will be a blessing, Lord. Let me do that. Let's bow our heads and thank the Lord. Father, how we thank